Hello, my name is James Wu, CEO of Munja, and I have Ryan Rosette of Credibly joining me today. So, welcome to the podcast, Ryan.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to talking to
Likewise. So, Ryan, can we get started by you giving the listener a little bit of background about Credibly?
Sure. So Credibly was started. I started the business in 2010 with my partner. We started primarily as a merchant cash advance company, and then we transitioned to about 50% of what we originate today is small business loans versus merchant cash advances. About 8 months into forming the business, we partnered with a local bank, which gave us an interesting financing tool so that we were able to leverage this bank's balance sheet where we originated it. We sold it to an SPV that was set up, and we shared in the profits. They did not own anything of any portion of our business, but it was a great vehicle for us to kick off Credibly. Today we've originated over $1 billion in small business loans. Our average size is approximately $58,000, and we really go across the gamut of small businesses. So it started out much more Main Street. Today it's much larger, and from a product standpoint, we have multiple products, and from a diversification of what type of businesses we lend to, it's a fairly diverse portfolio as well.
That's really interesting. Would you say you work with the bank funding partner for most of the for most of your funding, or how does your capital stack work?
Are you asking like where it originates from, or where how our capital where how we're financed?
How you're financed? So, do you get most of the capital that you use for financing from external investors, or earlier you mentioned a bank?
Yeah. So like I said, we started out with a bank. It was, the structure, it was a pure joint venture with a bank. We outgrew that facility.
Great.
And we closed on a senior credit facility with an Alabama-based bank. We increased that facility to a $100 million line with a top 20 regional bank. And then November of 2018, we completed our first securitization. So now we're using the securitization as a vehicle. It's a 3-year revolver securitization, and it gives us the ability to continue to grow. We have $237 million of capacity in that securitization, so it really gives us a ton of room to continue to grow.
That's indeed super exciting. So I guess from the borrower side, what would you say some of your how would you compare yourself with your competitors that are, I guess, either in the MCA space or the small business lending space? How would you tell a potential borrower what makes you different?
Well, so first of all, we are the direct lender. So there's a number of brokers out there that we do business with. That said, we're, we it's it all sits on our balance sheet. So it's a so if there's a we have a proprietary scoring model. It's risk-based pricing. So if we see certain characteristics of a loan that meets our sort of credit and risk profile, excuse me, we're going to be more aggressive, I believe, in our pricing than some of our competitors. And so we have, like I mentioned, the securitization really gives us like probably some of the most attractive pricing from a capital standpoint in the market. So we can really kind of pass that savings on to the small business owner.
That makes a ton of sense, and it certainly sounds like it makes for an attractive set of offers for potential borrowers, and you really are in the business of providing capital to help them grow. So I guess in terms of borrowers, what are some of the more interesting or at least memorable businesses that you have funded?
So like we have a very diverse group. We started out, it was much more Main Street retail. It has sort of evolved over the years where 21% of our portfolio is construction, 29% of our portfolio is services, and then it goes from what was probably 70% retail today is 17% retail, and then we have like transportation, manufacturing, wholesale, finance and real estate, agriculture, legal, like those are some of the other industries that kind of make up our mix. Geographically, we're across the board, very, our concentration almost mirrors the population. So for example, we have about 17% of concentration risk in California, 9% in Texas. It's not to say that, those are, and you have then Florida and New York. And so those are the big four, obviously California, Texas, Florida, New York.
Sure.
And then it kind of goes down from there. But, we have exposure in all 50 states. 50% of our businesses that we lend to or provide advances to have been in business for over 10 years. So it's a, and our underlined FICO profile of a business, kind of ranges from, we'll go down to 500, but over 60% of our portfolio is somewhere between 660 and 850. So it's a fairly credit-worthy customer.
And I think that that's it's first of all, it's pretty incredible how much you've grown and when upmarket in terms of the borrowers that you serve. And I think that speaks to the, I guess one of the misconceptions about direct lending. A lot of people think direct lending and direct lenders are places where borrowers that don't have alternatives tend to turn to. But given your low cost of funding and the fact that you are lending to established creditworthy borrowers, it certainly seemed like you've grown quite a bit and you are able to serve a lot of mainstream borrowers.
Yeah, and just keep in mind also that there's, if you look at what banks are lending today, they're really not lending over, or I'm sorry, under $250,000, and that's kind of where we cap out. I mean, we'll go up to 400,000, but the majority of our transactions are less than 250. So it, where it just doesn't become efficient for a bank to underwrite a loan of $60,000, which is our average. So it's, so our market is, kind of that sub 250 customer, and we're, again, we're a cash flow lender. So I mean, we look at a lot of different alternative data points to identify the predictive nature of this merchant paying back and also the risk associated with us lending to that person or business. But it is a it is a fairly voluminous, quick underwrite. So a deal will come in and fund usually same day. So it's a fast cycle, and you compare that to a bank experience, and it that could take anywhere from 60 to 90 days to get funding. But that's just different. And if somebody can afford to wait, they should, because a bank's obviously going to be cheaper than what we are, because we obviously borrow from the likes of banks also. But that is that is the nature of our business.
Indeed, and I think as you mentioned, your lending, your competitive advantage is your efficiency and your ability to quickly and effectively underwrite these smaller applications. So I think that truly increases the market that you're able to serve. So
That's correct.
definitely a right target. So I guess looking around in the small business lending market, do you see some of the things that are changing in the market? What changes do you expect in the market, or do you expect them to be more of the same, just getting bigger in the coming years?
I mean, there's always the talk of a recession. We've been having we've since we started the business in 2010, we haven't had any real dip in the economy. So, there's like we're preparing ourselves, not to say that we're forecasting, we're not seeing any deterioration in our portfolio, but this economy can't continue going as strong as it's been for as long as it's been. So we are contemplating that, and we were fortunate in 2016, 17, we took over a portfolio for a business that was underwriting wasn't of highest quality. It was a $250 million portfolio, but it's this business started in 2005. So we got all the data and payment history through the Great Recession, which is built into our models, And so, we're looking at that as well. So we feel we're well prepared for a potential recession. And keep in mind, our term of our loans are generally like a 1 year term. They're short term. So it's a, we can make changes quickly in the underwriting side, and where if we're starting to see some effects, even by states or industries or FICO bands or things like that, we can throttle our models and our pricing to adjust accordingly.
Got it. And I think looking ahead at a potential recession is definitely the it's definitely important. Not that I'm necessarily forecasting a recession, but a lot of people have been talking about the possibility of a recession. And I would say a lot of people have been talking about recession for the last couple of years, but nonetheless, one is going to come, and for a lender to be well positioned for it is a good thing.
Yes, I agree.
So in terms of now that you've been in the business for a number of years, and you've grown, certainly grown faster and more successfully than some of your peers, what would you say are some of the essential elements for a small business lender to succeed?
So I think it's a combination of both tech and data science or decision science. So, having a strong risk background is important. So we definitely are more of a credit shop than a sales shop. Even though we have a, strong sales team, our credit underwrite is, I think, where we shine. So, I think our underwriting is very strong here, and we are always looking for new and alternative data sources that we can that we find predictive and implement and test and do A/B testing. But like having a strong analytics team, I think, is a differentiator for us because, the power of data, making decisions based on the data that we're seeing, allows us to make decisions much quicker, smarter, and just, we're constantly evolve, like sort of iterating around that.
Yeah, and I think that's what distinguish someone like you from a traditional direct lender that's really sales focused. And even though a lot of people lump the non-bank lenders together, the fact that you have a strong data science and decision science team and effort, I think certainly sets you apart.
I mean, that's something that we completely agree. Like, if you look at the landscape, there's not many of us that have like a securitization and the cost of capital that we have, and we also have a very strong model that has really predictable results on now going on 4 or 5 years, where we're seeing a very static loss rate that. Which is good for us because we just want to make it steady. We're not looking for lumpiness in that regard, and it looks, it's been very steady across the board.
Got it. Terrific. So, looking ahead, what are some of your plans for the remainder of 2019? What are some of the things you're planning to do to stay ahead of competition?
So we continue to implement various tech products that we're working on. We just rolled out what we call independent sales office online application, which really allows somebody to submit business to us on a wholesale basis. It goes through a pre-qual engine. It will decline it automatically. It will look for whether or not we've seen the submission prior before, and then it will go directly into our intake and pricing queues. This is like become like a much making the process much quicker, and more accurate just for, and the user experience for us has been very noticeable. So that's one change that obviously that was a big and important change that went in. And we continue to, really refine our tech stack and, implement our microservices on the data science side to allow us to throttle certain things that we can test around. So, and that's something that is important to us because if we can eliminate something and price it in and test around it and see whether or not it makes a difference, that's where I think we can have an advantage as a small or nimble kind of business where we can make these changes very quickly.
That's great. And I think having spoken to quite a few direct lending businesses, it's not easy to combine the tech stack that you have with the cost of funding and the level of finance stack that you have. So it really is a winning combination. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that you want to tell our listeners about your business, and what else to look ahead in the lending business?
Yeah, I mean, so I mean, I think that we're, I think personally there will be some consolidation. I think there's looking at the tech and architecture of the technology associated with these online businesses are, important. I think that, you're seeing some businesses start to become a little bit more attracted to the online space as they're looking at the ecosystem or they're working within the ecosystem of small businesses and offering different products. So I do think there will be some strategic acquisitions out there that look to buy the businesses, be it through a credit card processing business that doesn't really offer this product, such as Square, whether they buy or build will be, certainly a determination that they'll go through. But having the back data to show the loss curves and sort of having the ability to really look at different industries under different stresses, I think will be a differentiator for Credibly.
Gotcha. Well, definitely a lot of exciting things to look ahead. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for speaking with us today, and thank you for providing our listeners perspective about your company.
I appreciate your time, and if there's any further questions, please, just don't hesitate to let me know.
Terrific. Have a good day, Ryan.
Thank you so much.